All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome in, SportsMappers. Good to have you along for the ride. It's The Usual Suspects. On a Tuesday, Nick, we still got to pick a topic for way back Wednesday tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Lance, a music aficionado, I don't think we'll have any chance or put any work into our way back Wednesday themes. But in the meantime, that's something we got to talk about between now and the end of the show.
We can make Barry submit a list.
Or Barry could submit a list, right? In the meantime, yeah, because Randy, on Wednesdays, we have way back Wednesday where each of us get an hour of the show.
Nice.
We pick a topic.
Okay.
And then each of us are responsible for finding 8 songs. We used to do pre-2000.
Okay.
So say, for instance, Nick's favorite year was somewhere in the, what was it, 70s?
No.
He doesn't strike me as a 70s.
Right, and then we did one year where absolutely the worst year of music
84.
Possible, 84. And he was like, oh my God, you guys, I don't know how you even lived through that year. But we'll pick a topic like 1984, and then each one of us is responsible for 8 songs.
In that hour
okay. That fit that theme, that do those things. But the caveat of all caveats is whoever gets their list in first, there's no repeats. So those are your songs, and then okay. We can't touch them.
Okay.
And it gets a little competitive around here. So that's why the listeners get involved. They want to know what the topic is.
Yeah.
So we play that on Wednesday.
Dominating them. Killing them, Randy.
Are you?
Well,
killing them.
Nick is a lot like Daryl Moore. He's got a lot of the bots on social media that are all about positive pro and doing whatever he tells them to do. So he gets them all to vote because he was getting beat on a consistent basis to the point where he was the Astros of like 3 or 4 years ago. So he suddenly just got a whole bunch of people on speed dial that could vote for him, and he's gotten a lot of wins lately.
Okay. Well, you need a comeback then tomorrow.
I need that comeback, and I need it very, very strong tomorrow. I hope that's the case. So maybe I'll just pick the topic. But in the meantime, we're here on hour number 3 of the big show. We've got a call waiting in Sach, so we're going to get to him in a second. But if you do want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line for all you sports mappers on 94.1 as well as ESPN 97.5. And if you missed any of the show today, we had a lot of good stuff, covered a lot of ground. Catch the Podcast Arena podcast. Go to ESPN975.com. You can also check podcast there. So, and we always encourage you to download the app as well. Take us everywhere. Then you don't miss anything.
I'm surprised we haven't had any panicked Astro fans. Call in.
That's what I'm saying. I just don't think anybody's panicked. I don't think anybody
I'm
thinks
surprised
this is
now.
Something to be concerned yeah. about now that the A's have closed the gap to 2.
Well, if we had an answer on when Altuve was coming back and
Springer.
Some clarity.
Now, I heard Springer might play in this series.
He could come back?
I heard Springer is close.
It would be about where he was. I think he was gripping a bat maybe last I heard.
That's what they said.
I just don't know if he's ready to get in there and play in a game or not. Maybe he is.
Hopefully,
he's
as close. I don't care if he plays in the Colorado series. I just need all those guys
starting
ready when
Friday.
They start taking Friday.
Yeah.
For sure.
Get him back. But yeah, no panic. I'm a little surprised.
Nope, that's what I'm saying. From the players to the management to the fan base, everybody just thinks it's a given that this team's going to win the division and be in the playoffs. And like I said, those objects are closer than the A's are 2 games out.
I mean, I know the pitching's been terrific all season, but we know you saw what happened to Verlander last start. He's out there again tonight. But, I mean, they can't dominate the entire season. That's
no.
what they can't keep up this pace.
And they've so done their part.
Yes, they have.
Without question.
More than enough. So.
All right. We talked about the Maryland situation a little earlier, and Sach wants to get in here and talk a little bit about it. Sach, what's up?
Yeah, I'll tell you. McAvoy, I'm telling you. That coach should be fired, and NCAA investigation should look into it because it should have, when it happened, it should have been investigated. What you think, guys?
Sach, appreciate the call, man. I think we kind of covered it a little bit, but based on this look today, and if you missed it, we did play the audio last hour from President Lowe of University of Maryland, Wallace D. Lowe, and he basically is taking full responsibility as a university for everything that just happened with the death of the offensive lineman that happened in off-season workouts. If that's the case, and if they delve a little deeper, and I continue to encourage you guys to read the article on ESPN.com and find out if any or all of this can be proven true, from the strength coach to the head coach to the way they treated these kids, and they're still kids. I know that they're big, large, athletic individuals, but they're still kids that have parents that turned their children over to these people in this program.
Trust. It was a trust deal.
Trust, yeah. And everything else that goes with it. If their trust was violated, if these kids were violated, if any of this is proven to be true, I don't think they should coach again in college football. I don't think they should have jobs in athletics in college or high school, because the kids are impressionable, and obviously the impression you're leaving is not a good one.
I even thought, before we heard from the president of Maryland a little while ago, before that even response came out, this whole administrative leave, that was just surface stuff for now. They weren't coming back.
I agree with you in that regard, but I also thought that that wouldn't be their last jobs in college sports, just because, or in the coaching
maybe
game.
They'd be given the benefit of the doubt. But here, right now, there's who's going to hire these guys?
Because you look at
nobody.
Well, but again, Art Briles found another job.
He went to Italy.
Right? But before that, he had a job in the Canadian Football League until that got bad publicity. They didn't realize how bad it was. But we know how these coaching circles go. We talked about Muschamp and the fact that yesterday he was quick to come to the defense of Durkin and all the Maryland coaching staff that he knew when he was at Florida and worked with. They're still, I think that they're going to have opportunities. If Art Briles can have another job in the sport, that's the bad thing about this. We go back to AU. We've covered the gamut in terms of the different levels that we're talking about. But the fact of the matter is, the pro game is always an option for guys that don't follow the rules in college. And something should be done about that, too. Because just because you mishandle kids, you should be given an opportunity to work in the NFL? I don't think so. And I think that the NFL has to be held to a higher standard, too, to say, look, we have to be on the same moral ground as the NCAA and everybody else to say, if you're going to mistreat human beings and kids,
right,
you shouldn't be in the sport, period.
Right. It'll ruin your career. You make mistakes. You pay for it. You better find another line of work. No college, no university program is going to hire these guys. I wouldn't rule out pro, though. I think there's still options out there that could be overlooked. I know Art Briles is over in Italy now. I don't know how long he's going to stay there.
Right.
I still believe we'll see him. I think we'll see him back.
I think you're
football.
Right. I think as bad as
I don't
that
know how
is,
long it'll take, but we will see him.
I think you're right, and I think that again, we never got to the bottom at Baylor of how many people knew.
Right.
So there's
still a lot of questions out there.
U of H has got a lot of backlash for all the good that they've had through the Tom Herman era, through Major Applewhite, through the ways. And Nick's a U of H alum. Fred Fowler is an alum. Jong Lee is an alum. Fred and Jong have already said, because of the fact that Art Briles' son is on the staff at U of H, because of the fact that we don't know to what degree and level he was involved in the scandal at Baylor, that has left them with a mark that says they're going to stay away from their alumni of the U of H, and they're staying away from the Cougs.
Wow.
So a lot of people aren't happy, and something's got to be done. It's not just on the field and what they do and scrutinizing players. These coaches have to be held accountable too, and whether you call it an overall ban across the sport or whatever you got to do, they got to clean it up, because these guys, if they're found guilty, and they have to be found guilty, we know that, but if they're found guilty, they don't deserve to be coaching anymore.
Yeah, I think we have heard all we've in this investigation at Baylor as far as Kendall Briles and any connection he had. I think we've heard, unless I'm missing something, we've heard everything we need to hear on that. The process was, he was vetted when he came to University of Houston by the president, athletic director, Major Applewhite. I'm not a U of H alum, but if I was, I would trust those people that are in place over there.
And you hope so. But again, when I hear those two guys and how passionate they are about U of H and hear them say, I'm done, it does.
It's hard to do that, though, when you, and they have every right to do it, obviously, but until they know all the facts.
I think, and that's what we're getting to more and more, because you mentioned it too. When we use that term, paid administrative leave, that normally is the beginning of the end.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So now Urban Meyer is the latest paid administrative leave. Will he survive this? A lot of people don't think he will. But again, as you, to your point, facts still need to come out. And it's not just in college athletics. We're talking about it now with the Astros. We're talking about a squeaky clean image for a team that goes and trades for a controversial reliever. Yeah. And now we're relying on what facts we're ever going to get, and when the facts do come out, if they do, to find out what is the truth with Osuna.
Well, with Osuna, you'll never see any video because of the fact that it's the way they do things over in Canada. So you're never going to do that like you did with Ray Rice.
Right.
Those guys. But, you know, definitely a controversial move, not what this organization with the Astros was accustomed to. Fan base, certainly not. I haven't heard a lot of backlash inside the building at Minute Maid.
It's
I've seen a lot on social media when he's entered the game.
Right. A lot of people were curious how the fans were going to react for the most part. And it's exactly what I wanted to see happen. Just sit on your hands. Don't be Milwaukee, for God's sake,
right,
and give a standing ovation to a guy that had racial tweets like Hader. But don't, you know, just if you want to wait to pass judgment, fine. But don't over the top it either way and see how it plays out.
Right.
But it obviously, to me, was the first black mark against Jeff Luhnow and a staff that has done so much to build such a great reputation across baseball and sports with the way they went about did their business, from building it to want the guys that they have in that clubhouse. And we know how tight a clubhouse that is. And again, you've been in that clubhouse.
Very tight clubhouse. They all get along, and they're all watching what they're saying. I was there when they returned home, started the homestand. They watch what they're saying when that topic comes up. I brought it up. I point blank asked Dallas Keuchel about, at that point, it had been about a week, you know, since the move was made and he joined the team. And, you know, they're careful what they're saying. And the consensus is, you know, not everything is out there yet.
Right.
Once we know more facts, then we'll have maybe different opinions and we'll have more to say about it. But right now they're watching what they're saying. They're going more from how he is as a teammate, trying to get a job done here, get some wins, and they're going forward.
And again, you mentioned this, and it's key. It's how much is winning trumping everything else? Because if it's all about winning, then you don't care about your fan base and your reputation and all these different things. And you didn't think, my perception is the Astros aren't like that. So that's why this move was so shocking to me. But also, when you look at, and I mentioned this several times on the air when the trade went down, you look at the last case or episode in Major League Baseball, Aroldis Chapman, when they were talking about domestic abuse. He got 30 games, but he put a chokehold on his girlfriend and shot a gun next to her head 8 times. He got 30 games. So for Osuna to get 70-plus games...
What does that tell you about Major League
Baseball? That's what I'm saying. That sends a message from MLB
enough
that they've got some information we don't have.
Right.
But we'll see, because we also had a defense lawyer in Canada on the show, a female who's a Blue Jays fan, who said she thinks it's a minor infraction. He probably won't even end up being guilty of it, and it'll all go away. So we'll see how it plays out.
Right.
So it's all about waiting for the information and what we actually get as opposed to what actually happened.
Yeah, it's been the controversial move since Luhnow arrived.
No doubt about it. So we'll see how it all plays out. But if you guys want to chime in on that or anything else, we welcome it. 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Right now, I want to tell you about the good people at Texas Can Academy. He's been telling you about them for a long time. It's Houstonians helping kids in H-Town to get an education, and it's a fantastic program. It's really simple how it works. If you lost a vehicle in the hurricane or you got a car that's laying around collecting rust and dust and you're not using it anymore and you don't want to pay for a tow truck, you don't have to. Just pick up the phone, call 713-225-4226 or log on to carsforkids.org. Either way, tell them what you got. Tell them where you live. They do the rest. They come to you with the tow truck. They take it away. They do the paperwork. You get a tax deduction, which always helps around April the 15th. And if you mention ESPN 97.5, you get a $50 gift card. But that's where the process really begins, because your donation is then turned into resources for these kids trying to get their education. It could be bus fare. It could be book money. It could be warm meals. It could be eyeglasses. Things that if the kids don't have them are distractions and prevent them from getting their education. Things that when they do have them, allow them to focus on their books and do what needs to be done. It's a great program. And like I said, it all stays here in H-Town. So if you got something that you think you might be able to give up that can help this program, please consider calling 713-225-4226. Log on to carsforkids.org. They accept cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, RVs, and more. And like I said, running or not, they can put them to good use. Consider making a donation. It'll be helpful for you with a good feeling it leaves in your heart. It'll also be helpful for the city and for these kids. As always, with this program, right off the car, not the kid.
Kane is in the building.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back! Final hour of the show. Sports Mappers are on 94.1 and, of course, ESPN and the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5. We appreciate you spending some time with us. Barry is out this week in California doing some comedy at a festival. Love having Randy McAvoy on the show. Friend of mine for a long time. Always been wanting to get him on the show, and now he's here today filling in before he's got to get out of here in the next half hour or so.
Because I'm on at 5 o'clock.
You got to do the 5.
But I'm only like 10 minutes away, and I did some legwork before I came in, so I think we're good.
We did some legwork for you, too, just telling you the easiest way to get out of here so you can get on 59.
You just saved me some time. There you go. That's good.
That's what we do. People helping people around
here. That's the way it should be.
Just make sure you stay out of Nick's way because he's a very aggressive driver. I just want to let you know. If you see a guy going across three lanes of traffic on a diagonal, that's Nick.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll be on the lookout, Nick.
He has we call it the silver bullet. His car is like a shot out of a gun. But so you got 5, 6, and 10?
5, 6, and 10 most days. Sometimes 4, 5, 6, and 10. Just kind of depends on the day. But today's just, usually Astros or, in this case, Texans. We always do something Texans related at 5.
Right.
So JJ talked today, so we'll run a little bit of that. And tomorrow, 49ers are in town. Joint workouts tomorrow.
Oh, so maybe we'll see some more fighting like we saw with the Jets and the Redskins.
I want to see some kind of – I need somebody to get into it with somebody. I think it'll break the monotony of camp.
Did you see the Redskins-Jets stuff?
I saw a little bit of it, yeah.
It rolled over. You know, we were talking about the Texans fans being there at some of these practices.
Yeah.
It got so bad that it rolled into the crowd.
Wow.
Right on the edges and the outskirts of the crowd.
That's an example. ESPN had, I don't know who all else had video, but ESPN did. They ran with that.
Yeah.
You and I were just talking about a little while ago on the show.
Right.
If you're rolling and you got it, you got to go with it.
And that's the thing. And that's the other thing that people don't realize is gone are the days of a tripod and a big industrial-sized television camera. Everyone out there is a reporter these days. Because as long as you got a cell phone that takes video.
Right here.
Yeah. And the fact of the matter is, that's the quality. It's quality enough now with these new phones.
Oh.
It goes right on air.
I used it. I got this new phone right before I went to camp in West Virginia. My other one wore out. So upgraded.
You got rid of your flip phone?
Yeah, flip phone's finally gone.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I just thought it was long enough.
You're right.
great camera on it. And, you know, with the craziness of camp when practice ends, you get podium stuff. Well, my photographer Alex Radow was over there. But if you wanted other interviews with other guys, you had to go get it. Well, we didn't have a second camera. So I just ran on Sports Sunday. I did just reversed the shot, had a mic on him, tried to keep a steady hand. And
sure.
People at home don't even know I was doing it myself. Two shot with me and Whitney.
Yeah.
And then I did another one with Kareem Jackson. And then I shot some high school stuff the other day. Hey, man, you do what you do. You can't have staff every place all the time. So you do what you can do with it.
I was just going to ask you that next. Because
one button, I can send the video back to the station in 3 minutes. It's there.
So that's quite common. The camera footage that you shot on your cell phone is what people see on TV. Sometimes. Lot of times.
I wouldn't say a lot. It's mainly my photographer, Alex Radows, but some of the time, absolutely, man. You'll see some interviews. Carlos Correa the other day.
Saw that.
I went over there and grabbed it because it was when Osuna was going to talk.
Yep.
So I kept our other photographer, Bobby Wiggins. Bobby stayed over there because we didn't know when Osuna was going to show up, and all of a sudden Correa showed up at his locker. Well, let's go there. I've got my mic. I shoot it. Man, it's
crystal
clear.
To Nick's question, though, Alex a lot of times is using his phone as well if he has to.
No, he always has his camera, but he will pull out for social media stuff. He'll pull out his camera occasionally and shoot some videos, just like he's posted today from Texas camp. Whatever you've got, you use. It's all HD. It's all arable. I mean, it's easy.
You just roll. If you have to, though, the Texans don't say anything if you use your phone.
Oh, they do.
No, that's what I was going to get.
Well, you can't. No, you can do it out there in the locker room.
You can't.
You can't. But at training camp, when you're out on the field. You can use your phone.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And you can, if it's an open video window, you can use your phone there too. But once they get into regular season mode, when all the interviews move to the locker room, NFL's not quite there. Major League Baseball is. You can use your phone.
Is that right?
For interviews. You can't take pictures in the clubhouse, but if I'm needing to interview Carlos Correa and it's for, you know, obviously reading.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times Nick's always been one that uses his phone for everything, and he's obviously gets a lot of good stuff for us.
Yeah. Rockets, same NBA, we could use it too.
And sometimes the team is saying no to the cell phone video.
Yeah, NFL still getting there. They did make progress though at training camp. Last year at training camp, we were more limited with our phones, but they know how the business is going now. And at training camp out in West Virginia, we were able to use our phones, and it came in handy.
You're
able to get more. West Virginia, he's on one side of the field. If I want to go get you know, DBs doing sure. drills or whatever it might be, if they're close by, you get more video.
Why do you guys think that they're such sticklers about the locker room video?
The number one concern, you're talking about NFL?
Yeah, well, because you said that the Texans don't allow the phones
once,
in the locker room.
Yeah, once they go to regular season mode when interviews are done there, they just don't want, say you're interviewing, let's just say Lamar Miller's at his locker.
Right.
And we're interviewing Lamar. They don't want to take a chance of anybody, whoever's lockering next to him, maybe coming out of the shower.
Right.
Whatever. And I said, well, we're always facing, you always try to finagle
their
a little
cube
bit.
Or their.
It's like, my argument would be, well, we're always facing their lockers behind them. They said, yeah, but they just don't want to take any chances, whether it's you or somebody else that's not as careful. So the best solution is to just not allow it.
See, I was wondering if it was more they have messages and game plans and things throughout the locker room at all times.
No, I don't think it's that, because that's really not on display.
Or what you were saying, because of the fact that I've told Nick this story before, but when Yao was on the Rockets, mm-hmm. he was such a worldwide sensation, and he was so popular over in Asia, that kind of stuff that you're talking about
mm-hmm.
sold and was like TMZ. And so there was a time when our folks had to go and literally get the device because someone thought that was something that they had fair game to get and then publish over there. It would have embarrassed Yao, would have embarrassed the franchise, the NBA, and everything like that. And that's something that I totally get.
Yeah, I understand where they're coming from. I think eventually, because they're starting to see that it is used for broadcast rights, the solution could be just limit the amount of people and who you credential to come in and what affiliation they're with. Keep it to legit media, in my opinion, will solve that and maybe open some more doors. Otherwise, for NFL, we've got to have two legit photographer crews there because they don't allow the phones.
And with Lisa in the business too, more and more what I was getting to was saying the tripods and the cameras are gone is the next step that a lot of stations, especially smaller stations, are going to, which is you shoot your own stuff.
Right.
And so if you're shooting your own stuff, and especially if you got a phone,
mm-hmm.
that's fine.
Yeah.
I don't have sticks and a camera.
I love using my phone.
And your news director says, hey, you know what? But you got your phone. That'll do just fine.
Go use it. Yeah. If it's allowed, I've got zero problem. I actually enjoy it. I like shooting it, putting it together. You could put, for web purposes, you could put together a quick story that doesn't take long. All it takes is a couple of stand-ups, and you got the sound, and you send it to the computer, you're editing, and it's on the website.
Yeah. That's crazy.
So,
George, we see you. We're going to get you after the break, so don't you go anywhere. We got 30 minutes to go in the big show. That means we still got time for you to say what's on your mind. It is 713-780-3776. That's the listener line. HR&P graciously puts that in front of you to have as a resource. Nick is here. I'm here. Randy McAvoy is here. 30 minutes to go in the big show. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects. All around the world, we can make time. We're up and stop it because I'm in.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final half hour of the show, SportsMap 94.1, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you being along for the ride. You guys know how we do it around here. We play the name game every single weekday where we call two names, and if one of those names is your name and you're the first caller to identify yourself with that name, you get the prize. Today's prize was a pair of tickets to the Ziegenbach Music Festival. Don't miss the 16th Annual Music Festival at Sam Houston Race Park, Saturday, September the 29th. You can see Randy Rogers Band, Pat Green, Casey Donahue, Reckless Kelly, Roger Krager, Kevin Fowler, all the bands that Nick two-steps to on a nightly basis when he's out and about being the single guy with the country life when he's not doing the show. You can be a part of it, too. We are not the show today to do the giveaway. We gave it away yesterday. So I'm going to tip you off. I'm going to give you a little bit of a pro tip here as you go forward in your listening day. Listen to the Blitz at 6:30 tonight for the next opportunity to win. That means that if you need it to be engraved in your forehead, Fred and AJ will give it away this afternoon on the way home at 6:30. So play the name game with us every single day. There you have that. So we got callers waiting. We want to make sure we get to George. George was very patient. I said he'd be in first. He wants to talk about sports scandals. George, what's up?
Hey, guys. Sorry to be a downer after you guys kind of brought things back up. I don't mean any offense. I'm just legitimately curious to hear your response. But how do you guys feel about kind of the inherent either hypocrisy or inconsistency on, like, a lot of these scandals that happen now, they're almost treated like they're a new thing, or they're, you know, oh my gosh, this is, you know, something that's never happened before. But I mean, it's just that we have the scrutiny now, you know, like the scandals at Baylor or Ohio State or Maryland. I mean, I remember watching Mike and Mike during the heat of the Ray Rice thing, and they're just tearing them apart, you know, after the video was released. And then, you know, they immediately went over to a cute anecdote about Mike's daughter meeting Jim Brown on a plane. And, I mean, Jim Brown was essentially Ray Rice in a Baylor, you know, kind of environment with police collusion and everything else. It just seems really like we whitewash so much. And also just really, it seems like we're only concerned about it being a bad look. Like, everything is taken from, like, a marketing standpoint where it's like, oh, man, the sport is going to suffer, or the league is going to get a black eye. I mean, does anyone know if Ray Rice's wife is okay now? Does anyone, you know, really care? And, I mean, do you think that eventually we'll reprioritize to where we worry more about what the actual, you know, bad thing was rather than how it's going to tar, you know, everything else, especially things, you know, related to your vocation and reporting sports? And how do you think media will have a role in that? Because, I mean, it's obvious that the sport's going to try and protect itself. The college is going to try to protect its reputation. I mean, but as an impartial third party, you guys could actually try to drill that further. I just would love to hear your thoughts on it, and I'll hang up and listen.
Randy, and I'll let you go on this, too. My big thing is from what George said, and George, we appreciate the call. The one thing you're missing here, I don't care about Ray Rice. I care about his wife. I don't care about Art Briles and the coaching staff at Baylor. I care about the victims. I care about the people that had to endure the most. That's what needs to be top of mind and not forgotten.
Because it will be brushed aside if it's not pursued media-wise. People will forget about it.
Right.
And it's media's responsibility and to tell the stories, keep it at the forefront, you know, so it doesn't go away.
And it's a fine line, too, because as sports reporters, our job is to report on sports, right? And so we in most cases, we're trying to stay topical. We're trying to talk about what, like we just talked about, the Astros tonight, the Texans on Saturday, the things that are going on. But you do have to try and balance that with, you still are trying to keep people up to speed with things they might have forgotten, mm-hmm. talk about things that they might have slipped their mind over the years. But it's hard for us, too, because everything's going, like we said, 24 seconds now instead of a 24-hour news cycle. And we're trying to be topical, and we're trying to be current. But yet you don't want to lose sight. But again, you also, unless you're a columnist, or in some degree to what we do on a daily basis on radio, but different than what I did when I was with the Rockets, that is that your opinion matters when you do what we do. But what you do, it's interesting because Bob Allen was the one guy that used to take that soapbox and say, right. You know what? I'm not just going to give you the stats, the scores, and the numbers, and the schedule.
Right.
I'm going to tell you right now that team stinks.
Right.
And this sucks.
Right.
And he was kind of that guy. That's what he wanted to do. But for the most part, that's not the cookie cutter outline of what is supposed to
be
done.
It's not exactly our role for what we do, but we interject it when we can. I mean, if a team's stinking it up, Texas on a Sunday, you're going to hear me say it on a Sunday night, along with the whole rest of the group we have. If you're in-house studio, you'll probably be doing the same thing.
Yep.
You know, you got to tell it like it is, but you've got to keep the stories at the forefront and make sure that they don't go away. And you got to do follow-ups. It's got to be good journalism.
Yeah, no question about it. And the thing is, again, everybody's worrying from an Astros perspective, Osuna, is he going to be guilty or is he going to be innocent? But at the same time, you're forgetting about the victim in the case, right? Regardless of whether the details come out, it's easier when TMZ releases photographs because now you've got the proof you need to be able to be the judge and jury in the court of public opinion. But if you don't have those things, and especially if he's innocent, there was still something done. And she shouldn't be forgotten about either. And again, to George's call, mm-hmm. that's the main thing that I think that he lost perspective on. Yeah, it's one thing to put it on the media and say, you may forget about this, or you may remember and say, Ray Rice, by the way, never got another job in football. So that's something to be notated as well.
Right.
But when you look at it, don't lose sight of the victims because of how important it is that they were the ones that had to endure the most. Not the penalty of the program, the coach that lost his job. You had someone lose their life at Maryland.
Right.
You don't get that back. You don't get a second chance.
Well, so much in media now, when the big stories do happen, and you see sometimes it is pushed aside because in the world we live in now, from a media standpoint, whether it's clicks on the website, ratings on the radio right. or TV, it's about that every single day. And if you don't think it's going to get you that, it easily is pushed aside. What else can we go to now that will help our product?
Yeah, to put that in perspective too, not just from a controversial standpoint, but you and I are both golfers. We love to talk about golf as much as we possibly can, but we know from what sells, what drives ratings, what brings in sponsors, what people want to listen to. Mm-hmm. If we just pushed what we wanted to talk about and what we were passionate about, we'd be hurting.
Right.
Because it is. It's about that, exactly what you said. The end game is the ratings, the sales, and the popularity. And what sells sometimes isn't exactly what fits what's right in the world, the situation, or whatever we're talking about. And that's a fine line.
But it has its place for sure, and it needs to be addressed constantly on these big stories, whether it's Baylor, Ray Rice, Osuna, whatever it might be.
Yeah, from what the callers have said, the other thing that we have to understand is it goes further than just your 5, 6, and 10 mm-hmm. or my 1 to 4 slot or whatever anybody does. Because with social media now, people want answers and they want information and they want
to
talk about
it. You got to go to where they are.
All the time, right.
Yeah, so for us, it's Twitter. Although the Twitterverse is not as big as people think it is.
Right.
For us, Facebook is, on the TV side, Facebook is big.
Is that right?
Instagram, very big. Twitter is also big on the sports side.
I won't do Instagram. Nick makes fun of me. Barry makes fun of me.
I don't do a lot of it, but on the sports side, Twitter is bigger than the news side, in my opinion. So you've got to reach an audience here. You got to go to them, man. That's how you find your viewers, you lock them, and drive them to what
I was going to say. That's where you find your audience that becomes loyal to you, because we make ourselves accessible 24 hours a day through Twitter. So people reach out to you, and they have a question. If you respond, they respect, so they follow, and they listen.
Exactly.
If you don't and you blow them off and you say it's only during the time when I'm on the air, they'll change the channel.
Right.
And they'll follow someone that will, because bet your bottom dollar.
Something that meets their needs, yeah.
Someone else is out there that's going to do what you're not doing.
Yeah. There's so many options out there, and you mentioned Twitter. I think I saw a stat recently, like 5% maybe of people, 5-6% have Twitter.
That's it?
That's it. Like an unbelievable, it was a staggering number.
That's shocking to me.
But it's still a lot of people. Don't get me wrong. But just different media, radio, Twitter might be bigger for radio. TV, it's Twitter and Facebook.
What would you say, Nick, for us? I mean, it's definitely Twitter, right?
For us, for interaction, Twitter is big. But there's no question that Facebook and Instagram is way better than bigger than Twitter. I'm not going to say better. That's opinion. But it's definitely bigger.
You're seeing all the athletes now rely more, if you want to connect and kind of keep with Instagrams where they're going.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you saw the issue with the confrontation that first Kelvin Benjamin came out criticizing Cam Newton and the Panthers. Mm-hmm. Then they had the confrontation on the field. Neither one was talking about it, but you know where Cam talked about it? Instagram.
I have that audio if you want.
Yeah, did a little bit of a video and decided, hey, with the media around them, they're not talking. But when you can do it your way, exactly how you want it to come out, Cam
John Watson, he's a big Instagram guy.
Cam came out with this kind of, and you can read between the lines, but this is what he said basically that kind of reflected on Kelvin Benjamin.
I mentioned it before, but I'm gonna just tell you, I need things around me just like this wall. And you probably ask yourself, like, why this wall is just so basic? But it never changed on me. It's the same wall every single day. I like that. And I need things, people around me. Like this one, ain't gonna change
that. See, and again, the other key that people lose sight of is not only did he do it his way, there's no follow up questions.
Yeah, that's right. That is
true. No someone going, but are you referring to Kelvin Benjamin in that? Yeah. Right. What are you trying to say there? Everything like that. He does it his way without any kind of reaction or rebuttal, mm-hmm. And that's what everybody likes, because you're telling your story your way with no chance of any negativity coming back at you unless you say something stupid.
Yeah.
Or video something stupid.
And video's over. Replays. If you didn't catch it, it replays for you.
Yep.
You got, that's the way Instagram works.
And yeah, you talk about with the ratings, the biggest thing is, and that's where I think ratings have to get to on radio and TV, they have to be able to measure those kind of things. The amount of clicks you get on a certain social media site, the amount of people that are following you on the app, as a, you know, click to Houston on the go. People can follow your stuff and watch the newscast without having to watch it in front of a TV.
Yeah. Well, what you're trying to do is whet their appetite a little bit, through at least what we do on TV side, whet their appetite a little bit on the social media, tease them with some stories, give them snippets, and drive them, in our case, drive them to make them watch over the air too. So you get the best of both worlds. Same thing with you guys in radio. You want them to listen and check out your website,
podcast,
the videos you do for your sports map. You know, it's all branding and, you know, driving people to your show.
And that's why a lot of times you'll see something that you've done during the sportscast, but say if you want the longer version with more to it,
put it on the web.
Get over to the webcast.
Exactly.
So there you go.
David Questenberry, perfect example. We did a long interview with him yesterday. My story airs at 10 o'clock tonight. Well, it's only about a minute 15. But we talked to him for 5 minutes, so if people want to know more about his story, just we put it on social media, drive them to our website.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You got time to stick with us for one more?
Yeah, a few more minutes.
One more segment to go, then Randy's got to get to work at KPRC Channel 2, and Nick and I, well, we just got to go home. So we'll wrap it up, put a bow on it next, turn it over to The Blitz. It's Sports Map 94.1 and ESPN 97.5. I wish that I could fly into the sky, so very high.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we've had a lot of fun today, and the time just seems to have flown by. Randy McAvoy filling in for Barry Laminack as Barry is doing some comedy in L.A. We appreciate you, Randy, very much stopping in.
Great to be here. Are you going to get clips from Barry's performance there in California? Well,
I would hope so, Nick, but I know that so far, based on what he has been putting out on Twitter, he's not happy with things have gone.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. What is he upset about?
Well, today he posted a picture of all the comedians, I believe, that are going to be a part of the festival. And he said, this basically sums up how my time in L.A. has been so far. And everybody's face was visible and intact. And some other guy was, half of his picture was over half of Barry's face.
Oh, no.
So I would take that as not a good sign, but hopefully the festival goes better for him. We'll get him back on Monday, and I'm sure we'll get all the stories that go along the way. But he said he was going to have some fun along the way and keep listeners up to speed, trying to see some celebs and stuff. So we'll see
there you
how
go.
It goes. Yeah. So you got a busy night ahead. You've got the Astros on deck with Colorado. And as we talked about during the show, I mean, eight in a row
at home.
At home.
Yeah.
That's mind-boggling to me, because the other thing that people need to keep in perspective is how good this team really can be. They have a better road record than the Red Sox, who have the best record
in
baseball.
41-18 or something like
that.
They
are fantastic on the road. So not having home field doesn't bother me, but my overriding feeling coming into the show today was, why aren't more people concerned with the fact that they only have a 2-game lead in the division?
Yeah, I think we're late enough in the season that you should be a little bit concerned on what we're seeing because of the injuries and the unknown on when an Altuve is coming back and exactly, you know, when Springer's going to be back. McCullers is out for a while. If we were in June, I wouldn't be panicked. And I'm not panicked now, but I'm a little concerned because the race is tightening and they're about to go play these teams on the road. As good as they've been on the road, how much can they keep that up, missing the key parts of their lineup?
And it's kind of the last road trip and the last homestand are a microcosm of what you're talking about, what we're dealing with this team is. Short term, you can be okay with Tyler White, J.D. Davis, guys like that. They went 6-2 on the road and beat the Dodgers, their World Series opponent, 2 out of 3. They came back and they beat the Giants with great comeback wins, clutch hits, 2 big wins.
But it took late comebacks.
But yet they were getting them.
They were getting them.
And now you
look
at it.
Those are short time.
That's what I'm saying. Short term.
Short term.
But then you come back and face the reality of you're still playing without arguably two and three of your best players, right? Because Springer, right. Correa, we called it the HEB curse from the commercials, exactly. But you had all three of them out at one point.
Yeah.
You've only gotten Correa back. So you worry about the fact that long-term it's going to catch up to you. It's going to leave a mark. And that mark means that instead of a nice, cushy, padded, five-plus game lead in the division, you're now only two games up, and you're going to start facing the teams that are nipping at your heels, and you better damn well be ready to play. And if the guys that you need aren't there, you better have some viable replacements, which is why I said there may not be a Verlander out there for the taking this year, but Jeff Luhnow and his staff better be kicking the tires on some vets on that waiver wire going, hey, I could get this guy or that guy, because whether they come back or not, God forbid Altuve's delayed or spring or something happens.
Right.
McCullers you can get by with because you know the depth of their starting pitching. But overall, I just think they need a bat anyway. But you got to be prepared for Seattle and Oakland with, regardless of whether you're healthy or not, with the best team possible at this time of the season.
They need to stop the bleeding tonight. They need to get their mojo back, get it done tonight with Verlander on the mound. Get, you know, a nice little two-game sweep would be very nice going back out on the road, because you've got – is it Oakland first up or Seattle?
I think it's Oakland first and then Seattle.
I think it is. Biggest series of the season coming up. How this team's going to respond. Can they grind out wins with the guys still out of the lineup? But, you know, you struggle next two. Oakland's first, okay. You struggle next two nights against Colorado. Say Oakland keeps winning. You might be opening a road trip, you know, tied in the AL West.
Oh, by the way, Oakland beat the Dodgers, and Kershaw was the starter last night. So if you're beating the Dodgers with Kershaw, you're doing the things that they're doing to be the hottest team in baseball. You've given them confidence already because they came in here, people forget, before that last road trip, Oakland came in here and had their way, right?
Right.
So they got confidence. Now you also take a team like Seattle who came in licking their wounds, took their beating in Arlington, really was looking at the fact that they were basically facing the fact that they were done. Instead, they sweep the Astros. Now they have confidence. Now they're like, we just beat this team four in a row. Come on to our house, and we're going to take it to you again. So now you've given a ton more confidence to two teams that basically were at your beck and call for the last couple of years. They were at your mercy, and now they both feel like they can beat you.
Yeah, absolutely. They're on a roll right now. You're in the middle of August. You're about to hit this final stretch. Astros bullpen needs to start closing out games. Rondon and Osuna has been there. It's been a little shaky since
since they got him from the
Presley
Twins.
Too. He was built up as this lockdown guy. It hadn't
low
happened
ERA.
Yet. Starting pitching, though, needs to continue to get the job done, and Verlander can make a statement tonight. This is a big final
Huge.
Two games of this homestand.
And you're right, too. Yeah. And again, this is another microcosm of where the team's at. You look at a starter like Verlander, who has been everybody's version of lights out, guaranteed ace, market in the books.
Until he saw Seattle the other night.
But if you look at it closer, four or five of his last 10 starts have not been quality starts like these starters have been given. We talked about his last outing against Seattle.
We had a stat on Sports Sunday, his first 25 starts with the Astros dating back to last year, and his last 10 polar opposites. So he's struggling right now.
And over the last, I think over those 25 starts you're talking about, he had given up the same amount of home runs in the last five games that he had over the first 25 games with the Astros. So he's a guy that's got to right the ship just like the team, and he's going for his 200th victory tonight on the mound, at home, right the ship, get rid of that whatever's going on at home mojo, and get ready to take care of business, because like you said, the week is huge for this team. The series is coming up, are going to be really, really key to what they do going forward. It's just creepy to me that there's not more panic about what's going on.
I'm really surprised that we haven't seen more on social media and calls. But if they lose this lead, I think the panic button meter will go up. But this is a fun time, man.
It is.
A stretch run for the Astros. College football around the corner. Texans getting close. Not a bad time to be a sports fan.
Not a bad time at all. Well, you know what? It's been a great time with you, my friend. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having
us.
Me, man.
We appreciate
it.
We'll do it again.
You got it.
Randy McAvoy, you can catch him on the 5, 6, and 10 tonight on Channel 2, so make sure you do that as well. Nick, appreciate you as well. We are going to be back again tomorrow. Lance Zierlein joins us tomorrow, so you bet we'll talk some football. We'll recap the second episode of Hard Knocks, and we'll, of course, talk about what happens tonight at the Juice Box at Minute Maid Park. For Randy, for Nick, I'm Joel. Have a great night. The Blitz is next. Enjoy your evening, everybody.